And this is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. And we are doing our best to reestablish a biblical way of life and some form of civilization, friends. We're not going to sustain our socioeconomic systems in the years to come as long as we violate God's laws. And as long as we think that somehow we can get along without the family, we can destroy the family through the public schools, through our social services organizations, through our inner city welfare programs, you know, fill in the blank, through our age segregated classrooms, through our disintegrated family situation we find in just about every family today, we're not going to survive. We're not going to survive with a divorce rate of 50%. We're not going to survive with 42% of kids born without fathers and 50% of kids born to women under 30 years of age born out of wedlock. We're not going to survive with that kind of recipe. And I know that the powers that be, the social planners, think that somehow that's all going to work out for us. And that's their vision. And they really appreciate the fact that there's a 10 to 20 times the incidence of sexual and physical abuse for kids in homes that are not nuclear families. They understand that, and they're more than happy that there's that level of abuse. And they want to make it more. They want to see more dysfunctional families. They want more dysfunctional. They want to see as much dysfunctionality as possible. Why? Because they really like dysfunctionality. Functional families and a really, really powerful state. The state itself has gotten way, way, way bigger and continues to grow and has grown exponentially in just the last 10 years. We've seen huge increases in the development of the state. And yet, people no longer trust the schools. We know that. People no longer trust in churches, the banks. The trust level in America is at an all-time low. When it comes to trusting the education system, it's at, 58%. But they still trust technology. They still think that somehow man can save himself, that science will save us. They still believe that. But, Dave, here's a World Magazine article. It's a front-page article. Just came out. We got it, I think, yesterday. Our Parched Land is the title. Praying for Rain. Farmers contemplate mowing cornfields. Water reservoirs are sinking, and crop prices are skyrocketing as the United States swelters through its worst drought in half a century. 1,300 counties in 29 states that the U.S. Department of Agriculture listed as natural disaster zones this summer, the largest disaster declaration in the agency's 150-year history. Wow. Federal meteorologists say the drought is the most widespread in the United States has endured since 1956, and that's over 50 years. This is all bad news. From what I can read here, I know that the good Lord is going to take care of us. A guy named Roberts, 30 years old, who has been praying for rain at the dinner table with his wife and 3-month-old son. Roberts expects to lose an entire cornfield this year for the first time in his life. He farms about 250 acres a piece of corn and soybeans and has never used artificial irrigation since rains and thick soil have in the past been sufficient to quench his crops. Many know that the ultimate solution to the drought is divine relief. That's good. That's a relief to me. Southwest of Syracuse in Burkett, I guess that's in Kansas, a farming town with just 106 post office addresses. About 60 people met at Burkett United Methodist Church on the last Thursday evening in June. The pastor, Gary Loy, had invited two area churches to join his congregation in a special drought prayer service. Attendees sang hymns and individually knelt before the front of the church to ask God for rain. Loy has brought a green and white umbrella, held it up in front of his congregants, many of whom raised umbrellas of their own. To me, that's a symbol of faith, Loy told me later. You have to believe, you have to have expectations. Okay, so they're praying for rain in Kansas. And this map, Dave, have you seen this map? I mean, this is that's bad. That's bad. Now, as we read these things, we're experiencing a storm right now. It looks like the clouds are rolling over. We've had rain the last couple, 3-4 days here on the eastern plains of Colorado. So things are happening here, but there are some parts of Kansas, it appears, Nebraska is doing poorly. Colorado, parts of Colorado doing very, very badly. Also, it appears Arkansas is doing the worst in its history. So there's a few states, Midwestern states and Southern states, not doing well at all in the present drought. And Dave, I think beyond anything else, we have to say God is in control. And, you know, man can't make rain. Government can't make rain. And without rain, Dave, you know, the fundamental building block of every economy is what? But agriculture. Don't we need food to survive? Doesn't man need food? Isn't that like sort of fundamental for you guys?
It is for us.
I mean, even if you couldn't get your MTV, even if you could not get your satellite, even if you couldn't buy a laptop computer, Dave, and have access to the internet, okay, let's say you pretty much eliminated all of that out of your life, you would still need food.
There's two things that you need. food, shelter, you know, air to breathe. But yeah, you need,
and God still provides stuff to us.
He still does.
This is the thing that modern man doesn't. He thinks that everything comes through the federal government. He thinks that somehow the powers that be control all of the switches, and if they just set all the switches right, then our economies will be the best ever. See, that's what they're thinking, aren't they? They're thinking that man can manipulate his future. That's what I just read yesterday from John Dewey from the Humanist Manifesto 1. Man realizes his own dreams, and he has the power within himself to achieve them.
Kevin, man thought they could do without God. And God, from time to time, will say, okay, do without my rain.
Yeah.
Okay, do without my protection. You want to do without me? Here, have a disease. And maybe I'll provide a cure. You know, God is sovereign over all things.
Or maybe I won't.
Or maybe I won't. Or maybe I'll hold back until you fear me a little bit more.
See, people do not want to believe that God is that sovereign. They don't. They don't want to believe that God has control over rain. You know, but there are still farmers praying for rain. You know, now what do you think Huffington Post would say about that? Do you think they would have an article like I'm proud of World Magazine for putting that on the cover.
Praying for rain.
That's great. They're acknowledging that there is a God in the heavens still, and maybe we ought to be praying to him. You see, Huffington Post is no. Man is in control. Man is in God sovereign. God holding back on the rain. No. You know, that's the way they think about it.
Well, they would think that the reason we don't have rain isn't because we offended God, isn't because God has withheld the rain. It's because that we produced too much CO2 and offended Mother Gaia, the God Earth. And so the Earth is withholding its rain because man has driven too many SUVs or something. It's just silliness. Now, I don't know if this is the worst drought ever. I don't know if this is mostly a propaganda campaign. Anytime the government is involved in statistics and in samples, we always have to be somewhat skeptical because they have been caught red-handed lying in the past, and they continue to be red-handed and caught from time to time manipulating the numbers. So the data is not necessarily trustworthy. But let's just say there is a pretty good-sized drought happening. Is this new under the sun? Is this never happened before in human history? It happens all the time.
Yeah, but Dave, it's bad timing. It's bad timing. I mean, you know what? We just came out of a gigantic economic recession, and they're just now talking about us getting right back into it. Well,
when did we come out of it?
We climbed sort of like a fly climbing up out of the cup where we made it kind of halfway out, but we're slipping a little bit. That's kind of where it feels right now. I'm not sure we've come out of this recession, but they're trying to come out of the recession. You know, we've made it halfway out of the saucer on this one, friends, but we're probably still having a hard time, and this is not the right time to get the worst drought in 50 years or 130 years or however long it's been. Okay, my friends, it's time to pray to God because he's in control of these things. And if America was just a little more humble and feared God, I think we'd be ahead of the game. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Dave Buehner also in studio with us. And a sweeping drought going across America. Of course, government will fix that one. Until, Dave, I put two stories together. You pointed out to me this Oregon man who got 30 days in jail, put in jail because he was collecting rainwater. And he lives up in Oregon where there's plenty of rain. And it turns out, Dave, Oregon is the one state that does not have a problem. There it is, the northwestern area of the United States, Washington, Oregon, completely white on that chart, meaning that there's no drought whatsoever there. And this man in Oregon, last month, I think it was, he received 30 days in jail for collecting rainwater on his property. It was his own property, and evidently...
But it's just a little tiny piece of property.
Well, it was 130 acres. It was 130 acres, but I think he collected it in like a little pond or something. He had a pond reservoir on his property, and he was collecting it. My father lives in Oregon, Dave. He's got a pond on his property. He's been there since we moved there in the 1960s. I mean, I think it's 60 years old, but apparently the government owns the water, the rainwater, the stuff coming out of the sky.
All your raindrops are belong to us. Yeah, the government now claims something that Jesus didn't claim. Jesus said that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Turns out that he forgot, and the government owns it all.
Yeah.
In fact, they own the sunshine, the wind, the rain, the dirt, the snow, the sleet, the hail.
There it is. All water is publicly owned. All water is publicly owned in Oregon. That's the Oregon water law. As such, you can only collect and store rain or snow runoff with special permits. While he was initially issued the correct permits by the Water Resources Department in 2003, the state took them away. He's been fighting them ever since. So apparently this guy's been in it for a long time. And, Dave, I mean, there is so much water in Northwest Oregon, it's not even funny.
But
I mean,
God
rivers,
gave it to him.
These rivers are huge.
The point is, Kevin, I mean, God gave it to him.
Well, yeah, the water comes out of the sky. You would think a guy could open his mouth and catch a few drops.
No. Not without a permit.
Friends, this is the problem with the nation. See, people have so trusted in governments. They have allowed government that kind of power. I mean, what's wrong with you voters? What's wrong with you Democrat voters and Republican voters? What's wrong with you elect people that will tyrannize the living daylights out of you? I mean, these tyrants have been elected by you. Now, why are you not reversing these laws in Oregon or anywhere else in the United Socialist States of America? I mean, Dave, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Absurd.
It is absurd.
Next thing you know, the government's going to be taxing Olympic gold medals.
Oh, they are. But before we get there,
okay,
you know, this tyranny is right in your backyard. In fact, in Castle Rock, Colorado, you can get a sizable fine if you have a barrel underneath your rain gutter. To collect water, maybe you want to like water your garden next week, and you want to just collect a little bit of rainwater because you had a surplus. It fell on Monday, so you're going to hold it. No, you'll get a big, huge fine right here in Castle Rock, Colorado.
It's called tyranny, friends. I mean, it's just called tyranny. That means that the government owns the land, the property. If anything falls on your property, government owns it. Leaves fall out of the sky onto your property, government owns it. If anything falls out of the sky into your property, government owns it. This is the assumption that government is all things. It's the assumption that government is God.
So if you...
The government has turned itself into God, the great arbiter of who gets what, and of course the redistributor of the wealth as well, because the government has reserved the right to tax you and to take whatever it wants from you and regulate every little business that you run on your little property, and they do not submit themselves to biblical law. And biblical law requires that government... holds itself down to 10% of the gross national income, which is what you find in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and the government does not regulate every little aspect of your life. Now, the government does regulate things when you steal something from others or when you hurt your neighbor in an act of negligence. We find those laws all the way through Scripture. But the government has no business regulating you before you've done anything bad to your neighbor in terms of these financial exchanges or potential acts of negligence.
But collecting rainwater is hardly an offense against your neighbor.
Yeah.
Look, if your ship came in and literally pennies fell from heaven, you would owe it all to the government. If it fell out of the sky, the government owns it. And, Kevin, you referred to Olympic gold medals. This is just a hilarious article. It's the Weekly Standard. And apparently, our Olympic athletes who have dedicated their lives to being the very best they can be, to representing their country at the Olympics. Now, these people will sometimes start at 8 years old, the gymnast, the women's gymnast, they start like 6 years old, 8 years old. They move away from home. They pay extraordinary amounts of money to get the best coaching possible. They go through tournament after tournament. They qualify. They get there. They get to run and do all the events for the Olympics. They stand on the podium. They collect the gold medal. And you know what the country says to them? We say, thank you very much. You now owe us $9,000 in taxes.
So once they've dedicated their lives to representing their nation, They have committed themselves. They get the bill.
Yes.
Yeah, they get the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. $9,000, please. So you got the gold medal? Send it in.
Send it in. Yeah, so at this time of this recording, Missy Franklin has 2 gold medals, and she's already in debt like $18,000.
18 grand.
And she's in high school.
She's in high school. She owes the IRS 18 grand. Oh, man, what do we say? God bless the USA? Dave, I mean, come on. This is tyranny, friends. It's tyranny.
It's the
ultimate level.
we are one of the very few countries that will require taxes on worldwide prize income, things that are earned overseas. So, you know, if only she had been born in a place where there was less tyranny, like China, then perhaps she wouldn't have to pay so much in taxes.
Land of the taxed, home of the brave, Dave, home of the slave, I should say. Land of the taxed, home of the slave. This is what we've turned into, friends. And you know what? I met a guy who was up in communist Vietnam. And he happened to be hanging out at a restaurant in communist Vietnam. He asked the restaurant owner, he says, how much do you pay in property taxes? I don't pay property tax. How much do you pay in sales tax? I don't pay sales tax. How much do you pay in income tax? I don't pay income tax here. This guy who was visiting Vietnam found out that business owners in Vietnam doing way, way better than business owners in downtown Castle Rock, Colorado. Way better. Communist Vietnam, way, way more free than what we got here in the United States. Why? Because America's turning into a socialist nation. We have the USSA forming here, United Socialist States of America, because Americans vote for socialism. Americans vote for slavery. Americans have been almost without hesitation voted for more and more. For American with Disabilities Act under George H.W. Bush, with the Education Act signed by George W. Bush, and then the massive increase in control of education on the part of George W. Bush during his 4-year reign. Friends, we have seen nothing but tyranny. Why? Because Americans love tyranny. Republicans and Democrats alike vote for tyranny. They love it. They embrace it. They want tyrants to rule over them. They don't want freedom as experienced by communists in places like Vietnam. And I think increasingly China is becoming more free than America as well, if you want to own and run your own business in China. Now, that may not be true, but certainly in some places, in some communist countries, there's a higher level of freedom to run your businesses. May not be a higher level of freedom to worship in a church, but there is a higher level of freedom to operate your own businesses in many of these countries around the world than there is in the USSA, because America is so addicted to tyranny and socialism. They're addicted to government spending, and they vote. They vote, they vote, they vote for more tyranny all the time. And it may be because about 60% of Americans now are on the government dole in some way, shape, or form. America became a fairly affluent nation. We dumped a lot of money into the federal government. The American federal government turned into more and more and more debt and was able to turn more and more money into food stamps and get more and more people on the dole so that they would elect more and more socialists and Democrats and Republicans in upcoming elections. Americans, for the most part, love the government. Over 50% of Americans now on a government check of some way, shape, or form, friends. So you expect nothing but tyranny in the years to come. If you're getting your money from the government, do you think that more people will vote for more socialism and more government funding? Of course they will, which basically means we're coming to the end of a free nation. Now, America was the freest nation practically on earth for a long time, if you trusted the Heritage Foundation report that came out year by year. But the last 7 or 8 years, America is slipping behind even nations like New Zealand and Australia. America, far less free than she was some 8, 10 years ago, because Americans love tyranny. They vote for it all the time, and they do not stand for freedom in the ballot box. They don't look for principled men who are willing to put their lives on the line for defending freedom in the civil magistrate. They don't look for these sorts of guys. And for that reason, America is in trouble. Dave, just a couple days ago, it was last week, I invited as many of my friends as possible, and I didn't use any of the databases I had access to, but just all my friends. I invited all my friends to my house. We had a great party, and we invited Representative Kevin Lundberg over to my house, and we collected some $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 of support for this guy. He's going against the richest candidate running against him, who is now the seated congressional representative for the Boulder area here in Colorado, and also probably the most evil man that exists in the Congress in America today. And Kevin Lundberg is running against this guy, and it's definitely a David and Goliath situation, because it's a couple of poor, poor people who can barely give $100 here, $150 there. And we're running this candidate against a very, very, very powerful, very, very rich man who happens to be a homosexual in a congressional district up in Boulder. So, Dave, you know, I think it's time to get behind great men who have already demonstrated themselves to be men who will put their entire reputation on the line and really take kind of a minority position on issues because they want to strip back the power of government. They want freedom, and they want to guarantee freedom for families and for churches in the years to come. These may be the only men who will stand in the gap for us, Dave. And I guess my encouragement when it comes to politics is you've got to find guys in your state. Doesn't have to be in your district, but find guys in your state. Maybe one or two. Find the most principled men who will be willing to put their lives on the line to stand against the rising tyranny, the rising power of government, and they're willing to get into power. You find those men, you get behind them. And you put money behind them. You put a $200, a $600, or $2,000 behind them. You make it hurt for yourself and for your families. You get behind the cause of freedom wherever you happen to live.
Kevin, you're talking about maybe men who would pledge their lives, their fortunes, even their sacred honor for the cause of liberty.
Great concept, Dave.
You know, I think what would be very helpful is if most Americans would go back and understand the principles of our founding, the biblical principles. Biblical principles like the right of private property ownership. See, we like to sing at the church that I pastor, Christ the King Church, we like to sing, "This is my Father's world," and which means the reign is a gift from God. It is His world. He gives us the reign.
Doesn't come to the government.
No. But see, the government wants us to sing, "This is Obama's world," or "This is the government's world."
Yeah.
God gives us something, and the government takes it away. The difference is between the sovereignty of God who brings the rain or withholds the rain, or a government, whether or not that government is to be seen as a demigod or whether or not they have a role to play in God's world. I would strongly suggest that people get a hold of a book by Daniel Ford, The Legacy of Liberty and Property in the Story of the American Colonialization and the Founding of a Nation.
It's just a huge title, but
the book is a great book, and it really lays out how important private property is in a Christian or a free society. Without that principle, you cannot have freedom. The very fact that you have to pay property tax in a house you ostensibly own means that you really don't own it. It means the government believes this is their world, and if you don't pay your offering to them annually, they're going to confiscate the land that you thought you owned. You don't own the rain. You don't own the sunshine. What is it you actually own? You don't even own your thoughts, because we now have laws against certain kinds of thoughts, hate laws they call them, which are somewhat arbitrary in terms of what you hate and what you don't hate. This is the difference between tyranny and liberty. Now, frankly, when we have a candidate who actually believes in liberty, I think you're right. Get behind him. Support him, because there's very few left.
The worldview that dominates today, Dave, that is taught in the public schools, is the worldview that the government is this. The government is everything. And within the government, within the civil government, you have the family and some individuals, some businesses, and the church. And they're allowed to exist within the government's purview, and the government's purview is everything. Now, what we say is this isn't the government. This is God. God is everything. God controls. God is over everything. And within God's purview, which is everything, God allows a civil government, a church government, a family government, and businesses to operate within that, and God gives it, by His laws, certain jurisdictions. So again, two different worldviews. The worldview taught in the public schools, which is this is the government, because obviously if you go to government schools and you realize the government is everything. That's what these kids are taught. That's why they're sent to the government schools, because the government is everything. And they're indoctrinated into the public schools because the government is everything. And within the government allows graciously the family, a few churches, and some businesses to operate if it feels like it wants to let them operate within their gigantic purview. We don't say that, friends. Our worldview is different from that. Government is not everything. God is over everything. God is over everything. God is over everything, and God allows the government, the civil government, to have its little piece of action, and it allows the church to have its piece of action, and the family and the businesses to operate according to His laws, and the laws of God lay out the jurisdictional boundaries. And yeah, there's some overlap at some points at which if a family gets out of control and some abuse is happening, God's law is pretty clear that the government does get involved in some of those situations. And, of course, the law, I believe, is lex talionis, the Lex Talionis law is directs when the government is allowed to get involved into the sphere of the family. And unless we start teaching this, Dave, unless we get away from the public school's worldview, which has indoctrinated most pastors, of course, and that's why the pastors won't teach the worldview we teach here, but unless the pastors get away from that socialist worldview and get back to a biblical worldview and start teaching the biblical jurisdictional boundaries laid out in the Bible for family, church, and state, then we will be tyrannized ad infinitum from now on till forever. So until we get the church back to teach the laws of God and strip back the tyranny of government that's trying to control every single aspect of our lives, friends, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So let's get the church to teach what the kinds of things we're talking about in this program. I bring this out in my book, The Second Mayflower. I bring out the sphere of jurisdictions. You've got to teach this to your churches, to your families, to your children. Be sure you're teaching this. You can grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, at our website, kevinswanson.com, by the way.
Dave? Kevin, this is just, when we look at a man being fined for not letting the rainwater go back to the government who wants it, we need to look at the ridiculousness of this. When somebody says they own something, they have certain responsibilities for the ownership. You own a very large SUV. If you were to park your SUV at the Safeway parking lot, and your SUV were to break free from the park position and to roll into another car, you would be held responsible. You'd be accountable for what that property did.
Sure.
Now, the government says they own the moisture that falls from the sky. But if you slip and fall on some snow, you cannot sue them, because they left their snow lying around. You cannot ask them to come and remove their snow from your driveway because their snow is in your way. You can't do that. They have no responsibility.
Right.
But they just want the profit.
They're just self-interested, and they're willing to tyrannize us for their own convenience and for their own aggrandizement. And that's just the way tyrants are, and that's the way they'll be forever and ever. Until the people wake up and stop electing tyrants. Stop electing tyrants. Now, friends, this is nothing new. This is the kind of stuff Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry, George Washington, John Adams, and others fought tooth and nail for. They fought for our freedoms. They shed their blood. Certainly those who fought in the war shed their blood for our freedoms. And we're willing to do the same thing. And I would say the first thing you can do is write some checks to godly, principled candidates who are willing to lay down their lives and their fortunes and their own sacred honor for the cause of liberty. Write those checks. Hey, I wrote my check last Friday for Kevin Lundberg. That's what I did. That's because I like the guy, and I believe he's principled. I've known him long enough to know that he fears God, and he will put his life, his sacred honor, on the line for the cause of principle. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. Also encourage you to get my book, The Second Mayflower, which pretty much gives the entire agenda. It gives you the entire vision that I've laid out some 15 years ago when I ran for governor here in the state of Colorado, and have continued to advocate on this radio program. If you'd like that vision for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, grab a copy of the book, The Second Mayflower, at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.